Good morning. Now, you're probably wondering, what in the world is Pete's doing up here this time of the morning? First of all, I want to say thank you for Tammy for that beautiful playing. Helps us to move into the mood of worship. And Angela, that couldn't have been a more perfect song to lead into what I'm about to talk about. Look around you this morning. Look around to your left and your right. We're a blessing to each other. And we've got a lot to be thankful for and to praise the Lord for. This past week, a horrible thing happened. Unless you've been under a rock, a hurricane hit, and there are hundreds of thousands of people that have been impacted. And if you're like me, when you see a need, you want to help. But it's not good enough to just go out there alone. We have to do it within the will of the Lord. So I'm here to present you an opportunity to help. This need is going to be ongoing, just like after Katrina and after, I can't remember the one that hit Houston. These needs are going to be magnificent, and it's going to be a long time frame for these people to get back on their feet. So I know you're wondering, get to the point, Pete. I know these people don't want to be called out, but I'm going to have to because of what's going on. David and Duana have taken it upon themselves to use their resources to help in their local community that they've been associated with, specifically Mexico City Beach and East Point, where they've been spending some time. I know lots of the rest of us around here love the beach, love to repair there, to vacate there, whether it's in the winter or in the summer, to spend time near the water. Well, that place has just been torn up. And there are lots of people making an effort to help. But here's what's specifically going on. I know it's easy to wonder, well, why can't somebody just write a big check and take a bunch of semi-trucks down there and take care of them? The place is devastated. You've got large swaths of country down there where the roads are tore up, they don't have power, and homes are gone. So people are living in very primitive conditions, trying to move forward, getting back on their feet. It is so bad, if you haven't heard, the National Guard is present, and there's a curfew. Dave and Duana, when they've gone down there, have had to be escorted from Bristol. Is it from Bristol? Down to the coast. That's how restrictive it is. So what can we do specifically? Dave and Duana are leaving Tuesday at 1. The reason for leaving at 1 is they want to be gone by sundown, because if they're not gone down by sundown, they get to spend the night down there on the floor in the fire department. So two ways you can help. Obviously, they probably would appreciate some money for expenses, gas, etc. But the bulk of what they would like, if people could donate items, and I know I'm not going to give you a list. There's actually a list on the church website that Duana has posted this morning of what is needed right now. So if you have time to shop, if you don't, money will help. They can shop. If you've got time to shop, please have your offerings here by tomorrow night at 6. Is that right? Six, and some of us are going to try to be here to help them load up. They're going to load up a 16-foot enclosed trailer. And I think they might swing back by Tuesday morning, but we'd rather have the bulk of it done tomorrow night. So this is what we can do right now. And as I believe Dallas would encourage you, nobody's required to do it all. We should look in our heart, as the Lord tells us in Matthew, and purpose in our heart what we need to give. And that's what we can do.
All right. Amen, right? So this is a time for us to act in love, not just be hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. So this is a time when we can all rally around. So you got this afternoon and then tomorrow to make some purchases, whatever you can. If you don't have a lot of money, I mean, you can go to the Dollar Tree and buy some coloring books for your kids, right? For a dollar, two, or three. If you don't have anything, pray for us, you know. But this is a time we want to rally together. We want to get a couple guys here Monday night. I'll be here, and ladies too. They can help them load this stuff up in their truck and get it on the way. So, amen. So, children's church. Let's do that. Send the flare. Pew! Children, do you see little pumpkins running around? This is awesome, isn't it? How can you look at this little pumpkin and say there's no God, right? I mean, just this little tiny little pumpkin in the just everything, how there's no greater creator, master architect. Wow, you know, that's why the Bible says only a fool would say there's no God. Amen, guys? All right, so we do want to welcome everyone. Thank you guys for being here. The Masons, good to meet you guys. And yes, and you have a home in St. George, yeah, Island. So is it?
Yeah.
Really? Awesome. Okay. Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Like David was sharing in Sunday school, you know, there's folks, families living in tents, cooking on a grill. I mean, that's primitive for sure. Yes, ma'am.
Their apartment, they can go back to their apartment, they have their they have electricity, center generator down there yesterday that they couldn't get going. And they have pressures, but nothing cold. They're giving out ice in different parking lots. But they were great.
Amen. And, you know, this morning we had a little prayer for him in Sunday school, and how blessed we are, right? And we don't need to be, you know, ungrateful for where we're at right now. I mean, we, you know, we're praying for the farmers in our church, you know, that somehow, you know, this will all work to the good of those who love the Lord and are called in accordance with His purpose. But we've definitely been praying for all the farmers and folks in our local, you know. But I could imagine South Georgia, Southwest Georgia, right? I mean, it's crazy little towns that you never hear about, the little small communities, the rural communities. We don't hear about that on the Weather Channel, you know, so we want to remember them in our prayers for sure. All right, so we're going to be in Hebrews back again. So if you have a Bible, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. And again, I want to promote the sermon notes that's in your bulletin. If you do not have one, Glenn has some extra ones, so raise your hand if you need one. You should have one in a bulletin. So if you're a couple and you want to both take notes, then and let's pen and paper. Should be a pencil in front of you if you don't have one. They're definitely something that we started about a month or so ago. You know, I want to encourage you to be students of the Word, right, guys? And so let's do that. So we're still going through the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. I forgot to say this. If you're not on our email list, please, this is a good time to get with Derry and give him your email. Just write it on the back of the bulletin or something. Just if you're not on the church email list, please get with Derry and sign up. I'm not quite sure if it's on the website. I've heard that several times. It's probably not right now, but maybe Derry's got superpowers. He can zoom it on the website, maybe. I'm not sure. But the email is really, it's went out on the email. So let's do that. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time together. Lord, we love you. We thank you for our church family. We thank you for the folks that are here this morning and our visitors. And Lord, we just ask that your mercy and grace, as you'll help us this morning. Put a zeal in our heart to show some love. And Lord, like this morning, we prayed that you would put a zeal in the heart of all Christians, followers of Christ in South Georgia, North Florida specifically, because we can be boots on the ground. And Lord, we ask that you give them a passion and want to help, even our little bit. Lord, you take our little bit of help here and you could turn it into a big thing. And we just pray in Jesus' name for all those folks that are suffering. Lord, help me with this word this morning. Let me preach it and teach it in the way that you've put it in my heart. Help me out in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. And I'm using the English Standard Version. And so let's read it together. It says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Verse 13, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Everybody said amen? Amen. As most of you know, we've been studying through the book of Hebrews. So if you're new with us this morning, this is where we're at. Now, what if I had a strange superpower and I could read your every thought? He's like, huh? Give me that Scooby-Doo look, you know? Huh? How would you feel just being around me? Right? I know that if you could read my every thoughts, you'd probably ask me to leave and not come back. And don't look at me like you don't have crazy thoughts from time to time. You know, as human beings, we all have the most interesting thoughts that pop in and out of our brain. We all do. Okay, we all do. Medical professionals today have the MRI and the CAT scans and all this medical equipment that can look inside of our bodies. But only God can see the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. 1 Samuel 16, 7. Let me read it to you. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. You see, God has a spiritual scalpel, and it's called the Bible. You see, when we're reading and studying and meditating on the Word of God, it enables us to look honestly inside of our own hearts. This gives us an opportunity to really look at ourselves morally and spiritually to really see who we are. Who are we? Okay, there's three things that we should know about this divine scalpel. So if you're taking notes, here we go. There are three things that we need to be aware of about this divine scalpel. The first one is its inspiration. Inspiration. Number two, its motivation. Its motivation. Number three, its revelation. Its revelation. So let's talk about the first one. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and this is what we're going to be doing this morning. No pun intended with the scalpel thing, but we're going to dissect this chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Okay, so it starts out with, for the Word of God. Now, what is the Word of God? We all know, most of us, the Word of God is the Bible. And the Bible uses a phrase, says the Lord and declares the Lord, more than 850 times. 850 times. So this is like proven to us without a shadow of a doubt that the Bible is God's Word. Now, as we talked about last Sunday, remember last Sunday? We talked about last Sunday, the Bible is divinely inspired. It's divinely inspired, which if you look up that Greek, it means God breathed. So God breathed this. Okay, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 real quick. And write these scriptures down in your notes. 2 Peter 1, 21. Let me read it. It says, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is an interesting word. I looked this up. It says, carrying along. Some of your translations say moved. You know, if you had the King James. The biblical writers were carried along or moved by the Holy Spirit. And this is what we call divine inspiration. God breathed. And this is what the writer of Hebrews was trying to get across to these, right? These Hebrew folks that were, remember a couple sermons ago? They were considering maybe not listening and, you know, buying into the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were considered staying into Judaism. So he was here now, the writers sharing with them about the power of the Word of God. You see, God used humans to write down His words. Now, He can do that. God can do that. God is omnipotent, which means all-powerful. He can do anything He wants to do. Now, think about a small thing that He did. Throughout history, more than 1,900 years, God has kept His Word as He originally inspired the men to write it down. And if you study history a little bit, you know there's been many of folks and many of, you know, people that have tried to destroy the Word of God. But He can't. They can't. You see, a correct view, now listen to this, a correct view of God will lead us to a correct view of His Word. So when we see God correctly, then we can see the word, His Word, His written down Word. Because God, now listen closely to this, because God is all-powerful and all-knowing and completely perfect, His Word will, by its very nature, have the same characteristics. The same verses that establish the inspiration of the Scriptures also establish that it is both without error and it is authoritative. Without a doubt, the Bible is what it claims to be. It is undeniable, authoritative. It is the Word of God for humanity. Amen? You see, 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 13. 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13. Listen closely to this. Let me read. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given by God. Now look at verse 13 right here. Let me read it to you. Ready? It says, and, everybody say and. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. I'm not making this up. This is exactly what the Word says here. So now, we've looked at the inspiration of God's Word, so let's go to number two. Number two, the second point, it's motivation. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it also says, Word of God is living and active. Two words there, living and active. So let's take a look at those words. This, I think I heard Heath mention this the other day. This living, or some versions say quick, it's the same word, okay, when you look it up. It means, I knew I was going to do this. Sio, is that right? Zao. Z-A-O. I'm not trying to impress you. I don't really know Greek, but You know, I study it and then come and, you know, teach you. So Zao is a Z-A-O. And I think it's interesting when we do these Greek studies or Hebrew studies of words, because it gets us deeper into the Word of God, not just being superficial. But it's Z-A-O, Zao. And it means life. It means life. It's where we get our English word zoo or zoology. And so we all go to the zoo to look at different kinds of life. There's living creatures there, and that's where we get that word from. You see, the Word of God is not only alive, which it becomes rhema. Remember that word? It means alive. It's life-giving. It's life-giving. You see, as unbelievers, everybody with me? Back before you got saved? Unbelievers, we begin that process of becoming born again by hearing the Word of God. And then by faith, accepting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all this is done in grace, in God's grace. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Everybody with me? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the second part of that, right? The second part was living. The second part was active. Some of your translations will say powerful. Active, powerful is the same word. Now, this is interesting to me right here. This Greek word active or powerful means energous. Energous. And that's where we get the English word energy or energize. You see, when we read the Word of God, it energizes us to want to worship God, to want to live for God. And it motivates, it energizes us to want to follow God. Amen? And here's something I want you to think about. When we lose our spiritual energy or power, we have probably broken our connection to the Word of God. Isaiah 40:29, which is our memory verse for this week. Isaiah 40:29, which is our what? Memory verse for this week. I know all of you are memorizing your memory verses every week, right? I don't even do it sometimes, but anyway. So here it is. Isaiah 40:29 says, He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Here's a question for you again. Ready? But you might say, Dallas, you know, what if you do read and study your Bible? What if you are attending church? What if you've been listening to preachers on the radio, but you still feel spiritually drained or run down? And that happens sometimes to believers. Listen closely. If your spiritual battery is low, then you probably have a bad connection, kind of like a corroded battery cable in your car or truck. Everybody got that? When that happens, the power or energy, it's difficult for it to get through. Some believers have spiritual battery cables that are corroded because of sin. This corrosion of sin, we call that a soul sickness. A soul sickness. A soul, and I see this a lot in the counseling. I'm a counselor, you know, full time. A soul sickness usually looks like this: unforgiveness, resentments, bitterness, shame, maybe an unresolved grief, and then the killer of all is secret sins. You see, the Word of God cannot energize or motivate us without a clean connection. So if you've got some corrosion going along in your cables, now's the time to repent. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit. If you look up that spirit, it means pneuma, which is talking about our soul. This is bringing us to holiness and completion and the fear of God. In other words, the respect of God. You see, when we feel disconnected, when we feel, everybody say feel. When we feel, we're feeling beings, right? When we feel disconnected, this should be our cry. This should be our prayer. Search my heart, O Lord, and see if there's any unclean thing in me. Search my heart, Lord, and see if there's any unclean thing in me. Now we've looked at the inspiration and the motivation of God's Word. So now let's look at the final one, number 3. The revelation. The revelation. When we look at the end of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and then on into verse 13, it said that God's Word is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of our soul and our spirit. Now stay with me here because I really want you to get this part. Okay, everybody good? Not sleepy? All right. I make strange noise once in a while, Mr. Mason. You have to look over that. Oh, I did it. I owe Glenn 10 push-ups. We're apologizing. Y'all hang with me. I'm trying to get regrouped. All right, God's Word is sharper than a two-edged sword. This is symbolic of God's Word cutting open and exposing our most inner self. Okay, it also reminds us that we can hide nothing from God. We can hide nothing. We stand before God naked and exposed before Almighty God. You see, the double-edged sword was a very powerful weapon. It was the most powerful weapon, what they say, historians, in the New Testament times. The Romans used it basically to conquer the world. And the Bible, two-edged sword, cuts like a razor sharp Roman sword. The Word of God dividing the soul and spirit. It also refers to, it's several different things, but it also refers to our conversion experience. When we became a Christian. You see, before we were saved, our spirits were dead. Our spirit was entombed in our soul. As a result, at that time, we had no desire to serve God. We were completely just operating off the soul. Ephesians 2:5. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together in Christ, and by grace we have been saved. Now listen to this. A natural person, the Bible talks about a natural person. A natural person or an unbeliever, that's what it's referring to, can't understand the truth of what's being taught in the Bible. I got to give you a scripture on that one. 1 Corinthians 2:14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. I'm going to quote it. Here it goes. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, let's take a minute. I know I'm running time. We're doing communion too. We don't want to rush that and hurry that. So, everybody good? I'm not going to worry about time. We'll be out here by 2 o'clock, Mason's at least 2. The natural person, ready? That word natural, when we look at the Greek of that word, It means psychikos. Say that three times. Psychikos, right? It means our soul. And we know that our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Okay, y'all have heard me talk about that a lot. But got to talk about it again, because that new folks. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. It's how we think, it's how we act, and it's how we feel. Okay, this psychikos, it's where we get the English word psyche or psychology. Okay? And psychology basically means this. It means the study or understanding of why people think, act, and feel the way they do. There's nothing spooky or scary about psychology. Psychiatry, well, I'll talk about that one later. Well, that's okay too, you know. There's times when we need that, you know. But in psychology, I mean, you know, the psychologists didn't come up with this theory or formula. I mean, they didn't come up with cognitive behavioral therapy. Okay, God created in His Word. He created our soul. He knew what He was doing when He created our mind and our brain and how we think and feel and act and function. See, only, and I've been a counselor for almost, I don't know how long, 25 years. And I've dealt with every kind of, almost everything you could imagine, from very terrible trauma, bad stuff, to everything in between. And I can tell you, what I've witnessed over the years is that only the Word of God, only the Word of God can really get to the depths of a soul, of our soul, and really identify our needs. And as human beings, our first need is salvation. You see, the Word of God divides our spirit from the tomb of our souls. And when that happens, my friends, the Holy Spirit brings life to our spirits. And then He begins to heal our soul, mind, will, emotions. The Holy Spirit comes and brings life, and that person becomes born again. And then over time, God begins to heal the soul. And sometimes that takes a long time. But we become free. When this happens, we become free and we're no longer bound. We're no longer dead in our trespasses and sins. We have been made alive in Christ. But you may still have to work on your soul. Well, I'm not going to say we may. All of us. Every single person here has issues with your soul. Me, you, our mind, will, and emotions. We have to work on that. We have to allow the Word of God to work on that. When God's Spirit gives life to our spirits, listen to this, our spirits begin, this is God's plan, our spirit begins to start ruling over our body and our soul. That's the way God designed it. When our spirit becomes alive, then our spirit, the real you, should begin to start taking over the body and the soul. Here's the way it works. As we begin to hear and read and study and obey God's Word, we start to mature. And we start becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. Some of you know what I mean by that, right? You start out as little babes. The Bible says we start out as little babes. And we're drinking milk until we get to those T-bones and ribeyes and whatever. Grilled chicken. This is the way God intended is for us to begin to mature and start growing up. And when that happens, here's the kicker. We begin to think better. We begin to feel better. And we begin to act better. Not perfect. None of us have it all together. But we will begin to start maturing. And that all that happens Because we get into the Word of God. And if we're not getting into the Word of God, then we never mature. We always stay a baby. We always stay immature. And guess what? We reap the results of immature thinking, of immature behavior, or immature feelings. He don't like me. He looked at me wrong. And we wind up walking on eggshells, worried about what everybody's thinking about us. And we wind up doing immature things and acting immature. Even be a born-again Christian, saved, going to heaven, full of the Holy Spirit. See? But the Word of God comes in, whew, like a sword. And the Word of God helps us start to mature in our soul. Almost finished, guys. God's Word also judges our thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. We must, all of us, must stand before God naked and exposed and allow the Word of God to show us who we are. We must do that. God, show me. Show me the good in me. Show me the bad. Show me the ugly. And then ask the Lord to show you your new identity. You see, the Bible causes us to realize that nothing is hidden from God. Everything. He sees everything. We must allow God to use His spiritual scalpel to cut us open and heal and restore and set us free and give us our new identity. Our identity in Him. As this happens at the deepest parts of our being, this happens in the depths of our spirit and our soul. And the Word of God is what brings healing and freedom and deliverance and happiness and joy and peace and serenity. It's the Word of God. So, to begin to understand the power of God's spiritual scalpel, we must know about the inspiration and the motivation and the revelation of God's Word. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time, Lord. Thank You for the Word of God, Lord. Thank You for inspiring those men years ago to write this down. Lord, You give us the manual to life. Lord, we thank You for this Word. Lord, thank You that it is sharp, that it does cut, that it does build up and lift up and encourage us. And Lord, also Your Word says that it draws men into salvation. So if there's one here this morning that would like to give their life to Christ, Father, we're going to do a short song of invitation. And I ask that they'll come down to the altar, and I'd be glad to pray with them. And Father, maybe someone wants to get baptized or join our church. That'll be awesome too, Lord. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.